I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. We should all know that came from the wonderful, beautiful hymn, Love Lifted Me. Well, this hymn would relate to our study today as we're going to be looking at this question, what caused Peter to sink? In our text, Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. We know that stands for Preparing for Eternity, and that's something we all should be doing with all our might. What's more important than doing just that? Well, we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street. That's right here in Martinsville, as we come together in our Bible classes. Well, of course, we're studying God's precious Word. And then as we come together to worship God, we're striving to do so with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. Thus, that would be in spirit and in truth, as we note in John 4:24. Now, something else we want to mention. If you're interested in studying the Bible together, we would love to sit down and open up God's Word and see what we must do to become a Christian and how to live the Christian life. And we just really would appreciate that opportunity. So we'll set that up at your convenience. Please let us know. But also, if you have Bible questions and you want to send those in, we look forward to that. We appreciate your comments, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And one other thing we want to mention, our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study as we're asking the question, what caused Peter to sink? Well, we know Peter was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He wrote by inspiration, of course, 1st and 2nd Peter. He was the one who was out in the forefront quite a bit. As we recall, he drew his sword when they came to arrest our Lord. He cut off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant. But, of course, Jesus put it back. That should have got their attention. But they continued to arrest our Lord and Savior. But, you know, Peter would also deny Jesus three times later that night, John 18:10-27. So, one thing we can note as we study our text this morning, Peter was the only disciple with courage enough to leave the boat. But again, we're going to ask this question, what caused Peter to sink? So our study will include the storm, the Savior, and the sinking. So let's begin with Matthew 14:22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. So we're looking now at the storm and the raging sea. And so we're going to find first a distance problem. The disciples were in the middle of the sea, and it was about 6 miles wide where they were crossing. As you see in verse 24, thus they would be about 3 miles from the shore. Now, I don't know if you've ever been out at sea and in a storm. When I was in the United States Navy, I was attached to the 3rd Marine Division, and I was on board a ship out in the South China Sea as we were riding out a typhoon. Well, that was a big ship, but still you're going up and down. Well, I won't get into all of that, but the point is, if you're in a small boat in a storm like that, and you're way out away from the shore, that's a distance problem. Well, what I want us to think about here is, how many people today feel like God is far away from them? But that's not true. Of course it's not. God does not move away from us. It's the other way around, is it not? Notice with me Acts 17, 27 through 29. And this is Paul on Mars Hill. That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. There it is. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said. And that was speaking to the Greeks there. For we are also his offspring, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. So that was a distance problem. But now we're going to note that there's another problem, and it's a distress problem. Yes, the wind is contrary, and the sea was in a rage, tossing their boat. Again, verse 24. Well, what comes to mind here is the beautiful hymn, Be With Me, Lord. Brother L.O. Sanderson wrote that song. And it certainly fits this situation. Be with me, Lord, if dangers threaten, if storms of trial burst above my head, if lashing seas leap everywhere about me, they cannot harm or make my heart afraid. Well, of course, this great song was written in our lifetime, but had it been in the time of the disciples, they may have wanted to start singing that wonderful hymn. Well, what's the point here? Life can be very hard at times, especially if you've just lost a loved one, perhaps to a terrible disease or an accident. The brutality of a terrorist attack. What about an earthquake, hurricane, flooding? Lots of things we could mention here. Well, that's a hard time to lose a loved one, especially a child. And this, of course, is going to cause heartache. And how do we deal with those tragic times in our life? Well, notice with me Acts 27:20. As here's another situation of a storm. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now this was Paul's journey to Rome, remember? And there came a terrible storm. And they lost all hope. They did everything they knew to do to try to save themselves. Everyone, but Paul had lost all hope of surviving this terrible storm. Why was Paul the only one with hope? Well, drop down to verse 23 of Acts 27 and notice, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told to me." Now, we need to understand God is not going to send an angel to us today to speak in this way, because it's not needed. We have the complete revelation of God, and we need to believe God, not just believe in God, but believe God. There's a difference. That's really trusting God. And so we want to be like Paul. He did believe God and trusted God, and we must believe God and trust Him, yes, and love Him with all our soul and might, all our strength. Yes, let's love God with all our being. But let's go on and notice there's a darkness problem also. Verse 25, this was the fourth watch of the night. So it's dark. And this would be after 3 a.m., before dawn, shortly before dawn, perhaps. So this problem of darkness concerns the majority of the world, because people are living in sin. That's living in darkness. And they do not even know it. How many people are going about having pleasures and doing whatever they think is the way to go? They live as they want to live, leaving God completely out. Well, notice John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So we want to be walking in the light as He is in the light, and His blood will continually cleanse us, 1 John 1:7. But so many are living a life of sin. The pleasures of sin may be attractive, but they're not realizing what will be the outcome. That's right. What about eternity? Well, notice John 8:12, when Jesus spake again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Are we following Christ? Or are we walking in the darkness? Well, let's go on. There's also a discernment problem. We've seen now that there was a distance problem, a distress problem. There was a darkness problem. And here in verses 25 and 26, there's a discernment problem. As Jesus went unto them walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Well, they thought Jesus was a ghost. Yes, what they thought. And they could not discern properly who was approaching them. And how many today are not discerning properly? They may be book smart, they may have degrees, be smart in many areas, but they're not seeing the truth. And that means they've failed miserably in life. And that's what we need to emphasize here. Many, many people today are not discerning properly. Look at Luke 12:56-57, for example. Our Lord and Savior said, "Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right?" Look at the situation in our nation and throughout the world, and other nations are going the same direction, further and further away from God and what is right. People are not discerning properly. And you see all kinds of immorality being applauded, being taught to children in schools even in the lower grades, even in kindergarten. Well, we don't want to be with a discernment problem. We need to know the truth and follow it, obey it, living a life for the glory of God. Notice Hebrews 5:14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Can we do that? Well, if we don't know the truth, we cannot. But let's go on now, and we're wanting to talk about the Savior. We've talked about the storm and the raging sea and all those problems that it brought. But here, we're going to look at the Savior, beginning in, again, verse 25, the latter part. Jesus went unto them walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But notice verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Jesus knew the disciples' troubles. He knew they were struggling to survive. The disciples were already afraid of the storm. Now they were in a panic. Who is this coming across the water? And Jesus came to them in the midst of their troubles and spoke to them and said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Well, our Heavenly Father knows our needs even before we ask. Matthew 6:8. Remember what Jesus promised when he gave the great commission, go into all the world and teach all nations? Well, they were to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But notice verse 20 of Matthew 28. Here's the second part of the Great Commission. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's not forget that. I am with you always. That's right. Never forget that. None of us. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Psalm 145:18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Now that's very important to keep that together. Call upon him, yes, but in truth. Philippians 4:5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. James 4:7-8, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Well, notice Hebrews 10:22-25. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's contacting the blood of Christ. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Well, let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And that's not talking about being sick or taking care of a sick person, but that's talking about deliberately not wanting to assemble with the saints to worship God and to study God's Word. But let's go on now and look at the sinking and get to our question, what caused Peter to sink? Picking back up with verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But, well, we have to come to that word. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, notice that, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. When they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, yes, notice that again. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Well, that was a true statement, wasn't it? So at first, Peter was able to walk on the water by faith, a working faith, as he was listening and looking toward the Lord. What happened to the other disciples? They didn't have that kind of faith. But when Peter saw the results of the wind that tossing the water about, he became afraid. He lost most of his faith. Jesus said, O thou of little faith. So there was a little left. He began to sink. Peter started concentrating on the problem rather than the Savior. And the results were fear and doubt. Now that can happen to any of us. Fear and doubt. And what can go further if we allow that to continue? So what about us? Are we sinking in the sea of sin because we have taken our eyes off the Savior? The same thing that happened to Peter can happen to us. If we're surrounded by a sea of problems and focus on the storms in this life, then we too can take our eyes off the Lord. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. Yes, he's the author and finisher of our faith. He died for our sins, shedding his precious blood on the cruel cross of Calvary. That's right. He purchased the church with his precious blood. He died in order that we might be saved. Of course, he was resurrected on the third day and is now reigning on the right hand of God the Father in heaven. Notice Colossians 3:1-4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Don't you want to be there with Christ in glory when he comes again? I certainly do. But I need to prepare for eternity now. I need to live a life in accordance to the will of God. I need to stay with the truth, keeping my faith strong, growing in mature and being complete in Christ. Notice Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Are we looking forward to that day? Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto unto eternal life. Jude 21. So let's ask ourselves the question, will we be rejoicing when the Lord returns? We've seen the answer to our question. What caused Peter to sink? He took his eyes off the Lord and began to concentrate on the problem, not on the Savior. And that's a lesson for us all. What happened when Jesus got into the boat with his disciples? Verse 32. There was calmness. True peace is only with Christ. The peace that passeth all understanding. That's what needs to be in our hearts. So the results here, they worshiped Jesus. And that was acceptable because he is God. And only God is to be worshiped. We worship God the Father. Yes, as we come together on the first day of the week. We remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as we partake of the Lord's Supper. And we're studying the Holy Scriptures inspired by the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. Well, a question we need to ask, are we with Jesus or are we without his body? And that again would be in darkness. Whether people understand that or not, that's the case. So Jesus answered the question, why did Peter sink? O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Yes, life has its storms and problems as we've studied today. But if we've obeyed the gospel, we have Jesus as our Savior and Captain. But if we allow the cares, trials, pleasures of life to take our eyes off of Jesus, we, like Peter, will have doubts and begin to sink. So let's be determined to follow Jesus no matter what storms of life may, no matter what storms life can bring to us. Yes, we will never sink if we are adding the Christian graces and remaining faithful even unto death. 2 Peter 1:3-11. Well, as we close out our study this morning, have you obeyed the gospel? In order to get out of the darkness of sin, one must learn the truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Now we're ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ, our Savior, having died for our sins. Yes, John 8:24, except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Once we believe that Jesus is the Christ, our Savior, we're ready to repent, making a change of wills, going in a new direction, getting out of sin. Luke 13:3-5, I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, Romans 10:9-10. Once we confess Christ, we're ready to be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38, and be added to the body of Christ. We thank you so much for listening today.